Welcome back to another episode of Afternoon Delight. It's Kyle Rush.
Sorry.
Ben Taylor. Let's have some fun. Ben.
You don't ever give me like a start time. You just hit start. And I'm like rubbing my eyes and coughing and scratching my butt and everything
else. That's why everybody loves us. That's why people, it's raw. We're raw and real. I want to talk more about the Brendan Sorsby thing. It kind of broke while we were recording one of the episodes.
Yeah.
Was it early this week? Maybe Monday or something like that. And we just kind of briefly touched on it. Want to dive into that a little bit more because there's layers to it. And it's honestly kind of crazy of everything that's gone on. But Ben, I'm going to lay out how we got to where we are. Okay. And then you correct me.
Then I'll lay out how we can get to where we're going next.
Got you. Perfect.
If that's possible.
Got you. So it comes out, obviously, Brendan Sorsby gambles a lot. He gambled a lot. And there were even a large number, double digit plus, of bets where he bet on his own team, even though he wasn't playing, bet on his own team at Indiana. Am I good so far?
You're good so far.
So that comes out. It's proven, whatever. The NCAA rules, he's ineligible. He's done. Okay? Am I good so far?
You are, but let me be clear. It's not just that he bet on his own team and it was very few bets. You can't bet.
You can't bet, period.
You can't gamble, period. Regardless if it's on – they think with your internal knowledge of college football and you being recruited by – Kyle, you and I are being recruited by Auburn, but you decide to go to Georgia and I decide to go to Mississippi State. We still can't bet on Auburn games because we've been on campus. There's inside information we may know. We may have been recruited. I may know that you're hurt, and so I may bet on your game at Georgia. So you can't bet on any college football, not just your team. That's one of the misnomers that these Texas Tech people keep coming out. They're like, well, he only had five bets against Indiana, and it was – games he wasn't playing in. And it's like,
guys, professional leagues can't bet on their own team. Yeah. It's not even really up for discussion. Like to act like it's something like you just can't believe. Like everybody knows this. Like Chandler Wooten was talking about it. They had to do compliance classes on gambling. Like you can't do that. Every time a new gambling app would come out, they'd have to do a class on why they can't do it and all this kind of stuff. Yeah. So he gets busted for gambling. The NCAA says, you're ineligible.
Yep.
They then challenge it with a local judge and file a temporary restraining order, injunction, whatever you want to call it, that would declare him back immediately eligible until the case went to trial. And the only thing that he would have to do as a part of the injunction is do some rehab and sit out the first two games. Am I good so far?
Yeah, and I still don't understand where the first two games came about unless he's doing rehab during those first 2 weeks.
I don't either. So the catch there is the trial was set for sometime in February, essentially like 2 weeks after the season ends. So
February 8th, 2020.
So if nothing is done, the NCAA has already appealed, and Ben will talk about that in just a second. If nothing's done, he will be able to play immediately, minus sitting out the first two games, and it won't go to trial until after the season's over. Right. Did I miss anything there?
You didn't.
Okay, now, Ben, talk about what happens from here forward. Like, what's the next steps from the NCAA, and what could happen, and what could be standing in the way of it?
So, the NCAA has filed at what we call an accelerated appeal. And now what that means is they're trying to put that in front of the Texas Court of Appeals for the 7th District in Amarillo, Texas.
Okay.
Kind of like our state appellate court. So
what would the appeal do?
The appeal would essentially, if they rule in favor of the NCAA, we're right back to square one. He cannot play per NCAA rules.
And the theory is he wouldn't be able to play until it goes to trial.
Right.
And the unfortunate thing for Sorsby in that scenario is this is his last season. So if that appeal goes in favor of the NCAA, he's back to being done. His career's over.
Yes. And, I mean, they did add to this at, towards the end of the article where they said, you know, under an accelerated appellate review. And those that are wondering, we have an appeals court. They actually will meet at different locations. Kyle and I are in Auburn. They've actually done an appeals court at the Gouge in Auburn, where they go through these cases. So if this gets in front of that out in Amarillo, if this gets in front of that appellate court, like finds the docket, which that's the thing. That's why they did it accelerated. They're hoping it finds its way up there sooner rather than later. So that way they can go ahead and have a decision before the season ends. But if they do side with the NCAA, it's going to actually be pretty big, because then they will have precedent, Kyle, because that will determine Sorsby's eligibility, which will be non-existent throughout this season until the trial date, which he's not going to go to because the season's over. There's no point in fighting it at that point. But also could affect future NCAA's ability to enforce gambling prohibitions that they have within their rules. So it basically, a lot more hinges than just Sorsby on this. If the appellate court rules in favor of the NCAA and they're able to uphold the suspension, now they have a leg to stand on if UCLA has a running back that's gambling and they file an injunction. NCAA, like, nope, we've already won this one in Texas. This is the same, like, information we're going to use to win it in California. Or same thing with Georgia or Ohio State or where Indiana, because apparently you can bet in Indiana because that's where he was before. So if an Indiana player gets caught gambling, they can't do the file an injunction part because they're going to be like, nope, we've already got a precedent set down in Texas that you can't play until we say you can play until the review is over. So
if that's the case, man, like how I mean, shaving points is like impossible to enforce now.
It is.
Or shaving points, or I mean, I guess what's the law going to say? I guess you can only bet on your team if you bet on your team to cover.
Right.
You know, it's only legal. Like you can bet on anything. He bet on his own team.
He did.
Regardless if he's playing or not.
It's the shaving points thing gets me, because we're going to get to the point, if we go down this road, where these poor players are going to have no phone access. Or if they do, it's going to be almost like parental controls like you and I have on our kids. Like I still have parental control on my kids for their phone. So they can't download an app without permission. They can't be involved in certain. I can see their screen time. I can see all that. That's what it's going to turn into. It's going to turn into Big Brother. And these kids are going to all sue
because of
the invasion of privacy.
Yeah. How can they do it? Like they don't have any, they don't have any teeth right now.
I know.
So no, I don't think that's going to happen, because there's no way. They'll just say no. And if you ask for it, I'll sue you.
Yeah.
It's insane what's happening right now. And this one is, to me, this may be more serious. You can throw we can talk about the transfer portal later. We can talk about NIL salary caps later. To me, this one is vastly more important than those things, because these are just, there are a lot of non-law breaking rules that the NCAA has that I guess now will be null and void. I mean, like percentage towards degree, that's one. Okay. So in other words, like you have to have, if you're going to transfer, you have to have so many credits towards your degree for those credits to transfer. Like how many times is Auburn like, oh man, we couldn't get them in, you know? Yep. Well, now you just say they're in, and you know, if the NCAA has something to say about the credits transferring, you just sue them.
Yeah, you sue them and you start making up things like, well, they had some extenuating circumstances. They couldn't make it to class. So
all you have to do is say irreparable harm.
Yeah, they're going to show a quote unquote hardship that kept them from doing something that allows them to get in. It's funny because, you know, I'd mentioned on another show, actually on my show, I talked to Zach about this, about, you know, steroids, and not necessarily steroids, but like PEDs. Like, Kyle, there's a lot of guys, like it's against the rules to, you know,
That's don't even get me. Like that's like, a whole nother thing. Like there's a lot of that stuff that's not illegal.
No, Adderall is not illegal, but they're not allowed to take a bunch of Adderall and watch film because they're gaining an advantage of doing. Because apparently that's a huge thing in the pros. The pros will pass Adderall around like crazy to be able to watch film and be able to concentrate. And so that is considered a PED, but that's not illegal in the real world. Kyle, you can go get Adderall. You can get your doctor to prescribe you Adderall. And so, because everybody keeps mentioning steroids, I did, but it's like there's so much other stuff, antihistamines, various things that are
Probably some type of hormones.
Yes, like HGH, like different pills you can take, like supplements to, you know, certain supplements they can't take because. I don't know if you remember it back in golf, the deer spray, deer antler spray. Remember that, the recovery?
Yeah.
Like that's the thing. Like they got busted and people got suspended for that because it's illegal.
No, it's not illegal. Remember? Well,
it's a rule breaker in the sport, but it's legal in every day. You can buy it over the counter.
Yeah.
And so they, like, there's so many things that they could be doing that are not against the law, but are against the rules. And so when they break the rule, they can just tell the NCAA, hey, that sucks, dude, but I'm not breaking the law. And I got a doctor that says I need it.
So, I need to make money.
Yeah. And you're costing me from providing for my family.
Now, I guess you could argue that let's take a break really quick and come back and talk about this. Cause I guess there is sort of there's a weak argument that says money is the NIL issue is the driving factor of this. I guess it is. We'll talk about that, though, in just a second. But before we do that, let's give a quick shout-out to buyauburn.com. Go to buyauburn.com today, and you can find over 30 different businesses across the Southeast to do business with. And it's a variety of different industries. We're adding more every single day. If you're a business owner and you got an Auburn connection, you can list your business for less than $1 a day. Can't really beat that value. And then, obviously, we're dropping Business Spotlight podcasts every single weekend that you can be a part of. As well. So check it out. It's buyauburn.com. And then if you need a good realtor in the area, call me, email me, kylerush@kw.com. I got 4 townhomes right now under $300,000 that are not very far from the stadium. You got your yard covered. It's got a community pool, fenced in backyard. Can't beat it. We got some really cool interest rate financial things going on with it too. And we can show you proven income for game days too, as well. So hit me up on that. Let's jump back into it. So okay. Ben, I know that there's going to be people when I said, forget about NIL, forget about all this. We got to get this figured out. There's going to be people that are going to say, Kyle, these things would not be like, they wouldn't be trying to get around these things if it wasn't for the money that they can make. And actually, the money that they are making is the argument, because it's like you can't – you're violating antitrust rules if it's like not a law-breaking thing that prevents you from earning money. So in a way, I don't know where you start to fix this. I don't know – exactly how you remedy this thing.
And I mean, it's semantics, but it's six or half dozen of the other. I'd say that it falls more in the lap of the money holders that are pissed and using their power. Like at Texas Tech, it's the guy that sits on the board of, I think they call them regions. They don't call them
board. Chad Campbell. Was that you talking about?
Yes. And so he's the one that knows the judge, that's paying the kid, that's flipping the bill for the Texas Tech softball team, that was flipping the bill for the basketball team before that kid got hurt. Otherwise, they'd have made a run. And he's the one raising teetotal hell about his investment not being able to pay off if Sorsby doesn't play. So yeah. I don't think it's more about what he's being paid, and it's not a knock on Sorsby. I think it's the money guys are going – all right, I'm going to use my power, and I'm going to say, hey, judge, if you want contributions to your next campaign, you push this crap through, all right?
Yeah.
And so, yes, I think NIL is involved, but I don't think it's as much about the players missing out on money as it is the rich guys missing out on their investment. I think there's a big difference there between the two of them.
Sure. And investment is such a wild word because they don't make anything off of it.
It's just a tug at the heartstrings. Hey, we're winning football games.
I guess unless somehow the marketing from it helps you in your business. I don't know. It's wild.
Maybe he's gambling it away. Maybe he's putting that money towards the player and then turning around and going to Vegas and betting it on Texas Tech to win it all.
Why not?
Yeah.
You can gamble now.
Yeah.
I mean, if they don't do anything, I think, though, if I'm Sorsby, I can't decide if I want them to rule on something quickly or not, because you got the NFL supplemental draft that's out there that you could be a part of. Ineligible, huh?
It's funny you mention that, because they had on the show Get Up on our ESPN 106.7 station.
Yeah.
Unsportsmanlike, as I was coming in one morning, they had a couple of GMs that were talking about that. And they said, probably on the supplemental draft, somebody may take a chance on him. But you on the supplemental draft, the way it works is you have to give stuff up in order to bring a player in. And not knowing where he stands, even possibly legally in some of these states, Sorsby doesn't need to hold out that he's going to be taken in the supplemental draft, because there's not a lot of GMs that are willing to give up some of their team or some of their future picks to bring him in when he may end up having to sit in court the next couple of years, because there's some states he gambled in that's illegal to do so. And so this could also be a legal issue with him, not just an NCAA issue. And they don't want to go to, you know what they say, the worst thing that a GM wants in their locker room is a backup quarterback with drama. And he would come into the program with drama And so those GMs were saying that he probably would not be touched. Now they could be really saying that, meaning we're going to try to take him because we're trying to tell everybody not to take him. So you never know with the NFL what kind of games they're playing.
How would there be drama?
Because there could be some legal issues pending, is what they were saying. Because some of the states that he bet in, that he was calling in bets to be done at another state, like it was illegal. So there may be some.
That's illegal?
Yeah. There may be some legal chart, legal
term. So legal. Let me ask you this. So if I.
This is based on what they said. I haven't researched it. I don't know. This is based on
said. So I'm throwing out a scenario. So I'm in Alabama. It's illegal to gamble in Alabama. If I have a friend in Biloxi and I call him to place a bet, or I have a friend in Biloxi for a vacation and he places a bet for me, that's illegal.
That's what got Brad Bohannon caught.
I thought he was gambling.
No, he was calling buddies and he couldn't gamble here. He was calling buddies to gamble for him and to place bets.
Did he go to jail though, did he have legal trouble, or is it just because it was illegal for a coach to bet on? Well, he was also betting on his own team.
Yes. Yeah.
So that's a different. So if I'm just saying, if I'm not affiliated with any sports, anything, I'm not. So, and I just call and I say, hey, I'm going to bet on that Iceland Argentina game. And I call my buddy who lives in Biloxi and he goes and places a bet for me. Is that illegal?
That I don't know, because they didn't mention that. I think that they were talking. I think they were talking about the severity of it, like when he was making 45.
Betting on your own team. Now that gets that the federal aspect of it. We'll get into that. So I could see. I'm saying all this to say I don't really understand what the legal ramifications would be, unless he's going to be under investigation for the whole betting on your own team thing.
And I want to stress, they kept talking about the possibility of legal. Yeah. So. They said
that dude was gassing that up so nobody would draft. Nobody would be interested.
Well, there's two of them. So it was like they both went in with the same plan. It was two of them. They were like, hey, we're going to tell everybody not to.
And then we're just going to duke it out.
Yeah. May the best guy win. We'll just the two of us will have a chance to do it. So I would say not necessarily him, Kyle, because of the supplemental. If I'm Texas Tech, I want the decision made as soon as possible. I want the appellate court. Don't do it five games into the season.
The thing. Like, what's stopping that from happening?
Nothing, because it says when it gets in front of them. So it could get in front of them next week, or it could get in front of them October 15th.
Now, Let's be serious though. Who are those judges?
Well, that's the next thing. So I'm on our buddy Doug from the Max Roundtable. I'm on his show, and he said, "Hey Ben, guess who the appellate court judges are over in Amarillo?" And I was
district that is.
And I was thinking that he was going to like name names. I was like, is this somebody like famous that I know? So like Judge Ito from the OJ trial, like who, what are we doing here? And he goes, they're all Texas Tech grads. And I
three
was
of
like,
them.
Yes, for sure. Out of town.
Yeah.
So three of the, what is it? Five, I think.
Yeah. The ones that there's the, however many majority votes you need to get it. they're all Texas Tech folks.
I would be checking their bank accounts right now.
So the idea that it's either going to rule in his favor before the season starts or that it's not going to rule.
Yeah.
There's no chance, zero chance they rule against him before the season starts, right?
Do you think there's any chance this gets kicked down the road and they don't have this ruling in front of them until week five of the season? And then they rule against him and for the NCAA. And then Texas Tech has to pull him off the field.
They could prove me wrong, but I don't see it. I don't see it happening.
See, I don't know how that works. Like, I've got to talk to the judge that listens to us, who's on the appellate court here in Alabama, and say, when it's accelerated, like, how do y'all decide what comes in front of you? Like, is that something that the state puts it in front of you? Because you can't just go through the dockets and go, okay, we'll look at this case.
Like your assignment?
Yeah. I think they get us in order. I don't think they can pick.
You pull a number when they call your number. They got to go. And that's how courtrooms usually work.
That would be interesting to see, because then again, who sits on that within the state? Are those Texas Tech people that assign that can go, hey, let's go ahead and get in front of them so we can make a decision on this thing.
Yeah. We're going to put this one at like 1,769, something like that.
Exactly. Or, does it make it in front of the appellate court? If the trial date's February 8th, does it make it in front of the appellate court February 1?
Like, yeah.
You know, so.
If they can gamble, I'm going to find me a player, and we're going to make some money.
Yeah.
I'm kidding. But why not?
This case is just wild to me because it's so unprecedented. Like, we thought, going back to the Betty Ocko situation, and I know there's some Alabama fans that are going to be mad at me for bringing that up. But you and I kept talking about that was a rule they broke. That was
not a law. It was a rule.
Yeah, but that was a one of one, because everybody in Alabama or in Tuscaloosa kept comparing it to Jovich or to any other European player in the United States. And it was like, no, your dude signed paperwork, which is against the rules, and you're playing him. And that's the same with this. Is they're like, well, so-and-so did this, and he wasn't with this team. It doesn't matter. He broke the rule of don't gamble, and he gambled, and he got caught. Not only did he get caught, he got caught like 30,000 times. Like,
the number still boggles my mind.
Yeah, it's not like, you know, the Iowa kid bet one time, bet $10. He self-reported because he realized that he wasn't supposed to do it. The team self-reported, and that kid has not played football since then because the NCAA suspended him. This was a couple of years ago, and he has not seen the field since. This kid bet 100,000 bets throughout this time. I mean, it's ridiculous. It's and so if you're gonna treat, which they want to do, treat everybody equally, then that poor Iowa kid got completely screwed, dude. And I don't know if he was very good or he would have played very much anyway. He was an offensive lineman, but he was like choosing between SEC schools and Iowa, and he went with Iowa, and now he ain't playing. And this kid clearly is going to be playing. And it's almost like, oh, he gets special treatment because he's a starting quarterback. We didn't really care about the backup offensive lineman. That's why he got suspended. But the starting quarterback, we're going to make some exceptions for.
It's crazy times, man. It's crazy times. So just get ready. Brendan Sorsby, you can bet on it. He's going to be playing this year.
We're missing out on an opportunity to contact, like, some betting website.
What if Texas Tech just signed like this massive deal with DraftKings? I know I saw all the memes about that, but like, what if that actually happened? That'd be such a funny troll, and I would have to like give him a, I'd have to tip my cap because that's hilarious.
That would be hilarious. Either that,
I mean, it's like, gonna completely. I mean, it just makes
either that or some casino like the MGM locker room or something like that. Like if they just had like they didn't even have the stadium. They just had something like within the program named after like, you know, the MGM Grand locker room at Texas Tech.
So funny. Or how is gambling legal in Texas?
No,
it's not.
I don't know if they have a lottery, but I know gambling's not legal.
Because that would be funny if you had like a slot machine in the locker room or something like that. Like slot machines are.
But that's why with gambling not being legal in Texas, that's why I think it's even funnier if like MGM or Caesar's Palace or somebody like that like sponsored their locker room or sponsored their concession stand or something of that nature. I think it'd be fantastic.
All right. Well, we'll see what happens. When you're listening to this, Auburn probably got another commitment. We went 24 hours without one. And like what are we doing? Were we trying to shut the program down? So hopefully
are we trying to win here? What are we doing? Are we trying to win?
Are you even trying, guys? Come on. So we'll talk about that probably tomorrow. Guys, thanks for listening. We'll talk again soon. War Eagle.
War damn Eagle.